Hey everybody, welcome to this continuation of my chronicling of my activities at Pork Fest 2012, the Porcupine Freedom Festival. What's next? This is June 20th, 2012. I had the pleasure of being a guest on Ernest Hancock's radio show, Declare Your Independence. He broadcast live, I think, six times from Pork Fest, and I actually got to co-host with him on the very last day. There were very few of us left on the Monday after this, and he asked me to be his co-host, which was really cool. Ernie is a great guy. He's very lively, as you're going to hear in the next two segments. But I wanted to release this just as a standalone, even though it's only about two segments, because I really owe Ernie a big thanks. He actually set me up with a special edition on the Freedom's Phoenix website. Special editions are like these web pages that you'll see there's a drop down menu at the top of Freedom's Phoenix. You click on it and it gives you this list of special editions, and one is School Sucks. So I can use this page, and Freedom's Phoenix has a lot of web traffic, and I'm going to be building my special edition on the site over the next couple weeks. But I can use it to showcase whatever I want, whatever I'm trying to get exposed. This is a great way to do it. So Ernie is very good about helping other people with their projects, and sitting in with us on the show, Stephanie Murphy. You know her. She's been on this show a bunch of times in the past. She's the host of Pork Therapy Podcast. She's also host of Free Talk Live, and Free Aid is a project of hers that we're going to talk about in these two segments. And a guy I recently made the acquaintance of, very cool economist named Daniel D'Amico from George Mason University. And I'll search the net and find some links to his stuff to throw in the show notes as well. So what's coming up? Well, we have the Wheels Off Liberty live show that will hopefully be released today or tomorrow. And we also have the roast. I'm just not going to put the whole roast up. I'm just going to do the highlights, which probably means Stefan Molyneux's performance and my performance. In my mind, those were the highlights. So that's it. Thank you very much for listening. We're almost through this. I hope you're enjoying it. I look forward to your feedback. Take care.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Live. Pork Fest 2012. Lancaster, New Hampshire, right up by the Canadian border. But it still gets hot. They go, oh, it's only 80-something. I go, you know what your 80-something is? That's 115 in Phoenix, okay? I'm like, you know, give me 150. Give me 117 rather than being hot and humid. And then it just cools right off with a breeze. And it comes in, you got a nice forest breeze. You smell the fresh air, and you go. So I go, all right, I'll put up a 10 minutes of, oh my God, for a nice mountain breeze. Well, we got Stephanie Murphy here. She's here representing Free Aid, one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
FreeAid.com, one of my favorite, so favorite, she's got a whole bunch of dime cards ready to be made. So we're going to do a fundraiser. We'll work on something. We're going to get something going with y'all. Because I know, oh, and I brought you a field kit. You know, an Army field kit you guys get.
Oh, thank you very much.
Of course, it's all in Czechoslovakian, but it has a lot of good stuff.
So as long as it has Band-Aids, we can use it.
It's you know, I don't even know if they're any good. You know, I got it like, you know, $19.99 at Sportsman, whatever the heck, online, and I ordered like, you know, a dozen of them. I'm going to be wrapped in gauze, okay? It might be red gauze,
like,
but anyway,
mummy.
It'll be, you know, I'm going to be taken care of. So I want you guys to, you know, I just give it to you just because I say it did. Because what you're doing, tell people what you do, and then where they're at, and they can go over and see you guys.
All right, so at Pork Fest, Free Aid, and it's fr33aid.com, is providing volunteer first aid for the whole festivals. And, you know, if anyone needs help, if they cut themselves or get a minor, you know, like sunburns, if they need sunscreen, anything else, we've got like toothbrushes and wipes and everything you could need out in the woods when you don't necessarily have all the comforts of home. They can come to the Free Aid tent at Agora Valley Site 2, and they can get free first aid. And of course, if they have anything serious, you know, we're not doing any open heart surgery at Pork Fest, so if someone's got something seriously wrong, we're going to refer them to the hospital. hospital, but if for minor things, you know, little cuts and stuff.
Yeah, it becomes a hospital if you don't have you. I just, you know, coming up here, you like, oh, you know, I know it's going to be infected. It's going to be humid. I'm going to be in dirty. I'm going to get, you know, where's the, I need just a little first aid. I brought my first aid bag, my bug out bag. But I had all my guns separated and everything else, except I had a 9mm in my medical bag. Oops. You know? So I got to be careful about that, too.
You were going for the border of Vermont.
We're 30 miles away when I realized that we're 30 miles. We can make it. And hopefully Vermont wasn't as much of a problem. So this is, you know, it's good that you have that kind of service, but it starts somewhere. It starts from an understanding. It starts from the schools. It starts from training the next generation. You know, now, Brett, Vionette, I say it Vionette, right?
It's within a ballpark of pronunciations acceptable.
Give me it. Come on.
Vinat. Yeah.
Vinat your slave. Okay. Vinat your slave. Brett Vinat your slave. Okay. Yeah, that's good. All right.
You're really on today. Yeah, I've been watching you for a while.
You know, Brett Vinat is doing a project, School Sucks Project. Now, I want to help him, you know, as much as I can, just like we did with Free Aid, because I know this is good investment, okay? You put in the idea that, you know, we're going to, like, help you raise your children free of the state. It's just a mindset. We're just going to give you resources. We're going to give you an example. We're going to walk this journey with you. You got people like, you know, John Bush and Catherine Bleich, and they're raising a child. Where do you go for these kind of resources? I'm raising my child. Where do you go? Does somebody give a crap about the next generation? Does anybody care? I mean, seriously?
I think it depends on which generation and how that generation has, you know, behaved, at least maybe not in their private lives, but in their public lives, their political lives. I think that, you know, my parents' generation didn't seem to show too much interest in what happens in the future
And you represent the change in that. This is my point when I'm building up to. Who is going to supply the resources for the raising of the next generation? And what more important role is there? What? Maybe eating, you know, so get self-sustainable guys. For what? To feed a mind that you're raising to be the next generation, I need Brett and what your resources do. So I want to help you. I want to get you a special edition on Freedom's Phoenix. I want to make sure that you get promoted. I want to give you banner ads. I want to make sure, because I have a site already. It's called Defending Archimedes. I just set it there years ago, you know, because I knew it was just going to be the geniuses of the next generation. All we got to do is just defend them long enough to think us out of this if we can just leave them alone.
Yep.
Humanity marches on, man. So tell me what you're advocating. And I want to get Dan in on this, too, because he's listening.
And I know that I've been involved in this for a number of years, and my background was in education. And I see all the things that people want to do, and I think there's some very noble goals, mostly, I think, really long-term goals. But as long as over 90% of kids are being pumped through this school system that indoctrinates them to, you know, be so obedient to authority, to conform, those kinds of stolen opportunities to think and learn for yourself wind up with people who are very intellectually apathetic as well, you know, as they grow into the adult world. So, you know, like I said, I see people trying to do a lot of things, and I'm not. I think that people should take whatever they're passionate about and use it to plant seeds where they can. But because of the school system, you know, there's a lot of sand out there when it comes to the seed planting. So, you know, I like End the Fed. I like Ron Paul as a teaching tool, but it really is like you're this raging river of insanity, and people are going up with these little droppers of reason and ethics, and we're still, I think, a lot of people are surprised when they're quickly swept away. But what really needs to change is not just how children are raised, which is a very important aspect of this as well, but how addressing and facing how children have been miseducated in this country and around the world, this country for over a century, you know, in places like Central Europe for almost 200 years now. So
you're like, the best defense is a good offense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're coming after the minds. You know, amen to that. You know, and they've been very successful in doing a lot of things. But you're going like, you know, there's a defense. You know, we need to, and we want to free the next generation of this. So maybe we have to go on the offense. We have to point out something. We have to demonstrate. We have to something. What do we have to do?
Well, offense to these people, to these kinds of mythologies that are so prevalent in our society, the best offense is curiosity. You know, like you've probably talked to a lot of statists, and you're just asking innocent questions, but to them, it's often perceived as threats, you know, when you're questioning a very comfortable belief system. So we're talking about intellectual self-defense. That's the most important thing, to how to spot lies, how to know when people are trying to play rhetorical tricks on you. There's going to be a couple of great teaching tools coming up with these presidential debates, so people can see how logical fallacies are used in this kind of rhetorical trickery.
So it's kind of like the scientific method for social interaction.
I don't, that'll work.
We'll hypothesize, we'll look at it, we'll study it, we'll experiment, we'll have a little theory, we'll see what works.
Right, right.
You know, and I'm like, I vote that, you know, I get to vote. Okay, well, I vote with whatever action I take, whatever I do, whatever I support, wherever I help, wherever I put my money, wherever I wallet vote.
You know?
So you need money? You guys doing fundraising? You got stuff? You got some swag, man?
We're in the process of totally redesigning everything right now. Website. Logos, graphics, so all that stuff will be coming soon. The way the show has money coming in is people can subscribe. They can go to schoolsucksproject.com/support, or they can see a bunch of different monthly subscription tiers just on the podcast page, which is schoolsucks.podomatic.com. I ask people for $6 a month. Some people give $3, some people give $9, $15, $25. It's obviously greatly appreciated, and we're using that to transition into video, to populate YouTube with more short, kind of punchy, to-the-point videos versus the long, thorough podcast that I've been doing for a number of years. And
are you being used as a resource? Are people finding you? Are they going, yes?
It seems to be that, for no other reason than just support, because I think so many kids never hear anything like this. And, I mean, for me, I remember being in school and saying stuff to myself like, well, you know, it's too bad that this is the way it is. You know, I mean, I rebelled.
It doesn't have to be this way.
When exactly.
We come back, Stephanie Murphy, I'm sure she has some comments and what kind of influences Brett has had on the community. You know, Dan D'Amico's definitely got an opinion. He got an opinion. I can see wheels turning behind those glasses, you know, because his eyes was open most of the time. You know, so we're going to get to everybody's opinion when we come back here on Declare Your Independence of me. Ernest Hannah, you do it too. You do it too. I declare independence. I declare my independence.
Can I do
and
it?
You don't even need what?
Declare independence.
And you don't need a government form. See how easy that was? He just did.
We'll no
do it
fear.
Again when we come back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Don't need them. Don't need them. Spaceships, spaceship jets and cars. You know, don't need them. You know, but what about what happens when we don't need the roads then? Can we do away with government? You know, then they don't get that one. What about the road? We don't have that to worry about anymore. Are we done? Do we get it? How are we going to know we're done? You know, are we going to look to even imagine that it could be done? You know, where does that happen? It happens in their youth. It happens when we're young. It happens when we're being schooled and trained by people that are, you know, aware. And what kind of part of that kind of curriculum, you know, can you add to it? What kind of other ideas? You know, like Dan D'Amico, you know, he's like, hey, let me show you some numbers, you know, and show us how the numbers apply to you. Can you be his curriculum?
Well, I actually really like the name of your project, School Sucks, because libertarian or not, anarchist or not, when you look at the data as far as K-12 education in the United States is concerned, we've multiplied how much we spend on it in the last few decades several times over, and yet test scores are declining. So even people left who identify with like Republican and Democrat positions on public education really have to confront this reality that our public education system is failing. And the best places that are doing the most interesting and innovative and entrepreneurial models of new ways of educating young people is in places that have failing governments, right? Third world charter programs and private schools, like in parts of Africa, they have floating cities where schools can sort of like emerge and self-function outside the realm of formal governments. And New Orleans is a great example. After Hurricane Katrina, our state just simply couldn't afford to fund these sort of mini prison public schools anymore and had to turn to the private sector to ask for charter contracts. So just having the resources out there, like it sounds like you guys are doing, is a tremendous step in the right direction. I'm really excited to see how your program develops over the next few years.
Well, what is it you're trying to do? I mean, is it provide a curriculum, an opinion, a direction, a lifestyle? I mean, they go see, you know, schoolsucks.com, and they what?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty non-prescriptive show. So like I was saying in the last segment, it's more about have somebody being able to hear not just another voice, but somebody who's been on the other side of the classroom or other side on that line of authority saying, no, what you feel is right. You know, you're not defective. You're not because you're not conforming, or you don't think this is right, or you don't want to put all your life's energy into this.
Well,
it's not a defect of you.
There's a curriculum for that. That may be a mission statement or an opinion or a slogan, you know. But if you're going to enact it, you're going to do it either. Or you don't have an opinion on what they should learn, or you have a curriculum for what they should learn. I see you with a DVD set from John Taylor Gatto.
Yeah, I think that the ultimate history lesson, A Weekend with John Taylor Gatto, is a good teaching tool so people can understand the hole that we're actually in and how deep this actually is, like how far back the desire of elites to control the shaping of young minds actually goes. And this is a...
Well, tell me.
Well, this, as you can see here, Ernest, it says a five-hour journey.
It was to make good drones for the state. I mean,
yeah, absolutely,
public education was to make sure, you know, if you're going to be served, well, you need a minimum standard of serving so that they can follow the instructions that you give to them, that they will follow to the letter, because it was written down in nice font.
Yes.
That they could read.
So as far as having a specific curriculum, like I said, it's non-prescriptive, and I think it's different things for different people, but to realize what has been done is very important. And I've tried to pursue problems and issues in government education, higher education, which is another huge problem because that's almost another worthless piece of paper at this point, to show everybody that...
Well, you know, the best way for me to understand this has always been the genesis of the thought process. I mean, you advocate critical thinking a lot all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going, well, define that for me. You know, and how do you do it? The other stuff's just curriculum. It's how to present them with information using the basis of critical thinking so that they can process it and be productive.
Well, sure. So if you want just in a nutshell, I think one of the most important things is having a solid background knowledge of a subject on which you want to be persuasive. You have to have some background knowledge. Then you have to go through a logical process where you're, you know, looking at the background knowledge that's available. It comes from different sources. It comes from different, certainly opinionated backgrounds with political agendas, and you have to remove the contradictions, and you have to get some consistency there.
I see you're talking a philosophy, a direction, removing the cognitive dissonance in your head, the competing ideas that are just driving you freaking insane.
Yeah, it was very frustrating, you know, to be, you know, in my past where I was very, like, attracted, because I went to college and had, you know, very liberal professors and was attracted to, you know, Keynesian economics and, you know, this more liberal version of history, like who the heroes of history were, FDR and Woodrow Wilson. And it was very, like, as I started to teach, and one of the best ways to learn is to teach, and I started to seek out new information, and things started to get, you know, the more I learned about economics, my head was like a real mess while I was trying to teach people. And I think that a lot of people in, you know, secondary education, higher education, when that starts to happen, maybe they just edit it out. You know, we run these internal editors where we can amplify the sources of information
that we agree with. Yeah, no, we don't talk about that verse in the Bible. Okay, I get it.
You know? Yeah, oh, you know, yeah, that's the idea. That's the idea.
You know, that one's inconsistent with our plan here.
Right.
You know, well, the thing is education be a free aid where you have, you know, people start, you know, I survive. I know I'm going, you know, 3 days from now, I'm going to really wish I put some antibiotic on this cut. I know this. Why? Because I'm not stupid. Now I got educated. I learned life. I have the ability to do it. I get it. You know, and they provide that opportunity. You don't have to have the supplies of everything on the planet. You know, it's education.
It's a little
thing.
More than that too, because it's sort of meant to show like how people can be taken care of by friends and neighbors and people who care. We also do CPR education, Ernie. So, you know, if somebody is really in need of help, if they need CPR, if they go into cardiac arrest, we don't have to rely on EMS or the state or whoever to save them.
I needed a Band-Aid last time. I was so happy, like a little kid running up. I need, you know. So I go up there.
Did you get
and
a sticker?
I said, I got a sticker, okay. And I did the CPR thing, and they walked me through, and you do the questionnaire deal you guys had and so on. And I go, what a great idea. It's education. And can we get, you know, younger? I mean, what kind of impact? You know, how supportive are you of School Sucks Project as part of the community?
Oh, 100%. And I've known Brett for a while. He's a personal friend of mine, but I also have enjoyed his show way before I knew him. So.
And Dan, what do you think? I mean, you know, is this an addition? Is this a central part to the movement? I mean, is it, we would be less without this. We'd be at risk. Is this better?
Well, I think all these forms of providing civil services, whether it's sort of health care for minor scrapes and bruises like free aid or education. One of the biggest problems that's occurred over the course of the 20th century in conjunction with the growth of government is that we've seen a significant decline in civil society.
Yeah,
people
mutually.
Don't join clubs and churches. When we do, we don't use those things for these practical, functional roles in our lives. And it's a large part of what happens when you use something that is anonymous and faceless and bureaucratic and coercive by means of government is that you end up displacing these more organic reputation, community-based
culture. I mean, this cultures, is why I keep saying it's a culture. It's an opinion, an attitude, a movement. You know, just a public opinion. I mean, they put it in the simple terms, like it's public opinion. Yeah. Public opinion kicked your ass.
In the late 1970s, the American Cancer Society was offered significant grant money in the millions of dollars from the federal government, and they turned it down for no other reason than they were concerned about corrupting their cultural identity as an independent institution. In today's society, we have no comparable formal civil society organizations that dedicated to being a private sector voluntary organization. That's something that's like endemic in our culture as a society at large,
define,
not just within the Liberty Movement.
Describe that to me. What are you looking for?
Well, I think it's...
You know, they did it. What did they do?
Here again, I'm a big fan of the educational project. It's a recognition that being pro-education does not mean that you are pro-education legislation or pro-education funding. You're actually pro a very practical strategy of finding ways to educate people. School sucks, offering real information, offering new curriculum, thinking outside the box of what actually works for kids to become smarter individuals. What actually works for getting people the resources in medical terms that they need is not a matter of writing things down in Washington. It's not a matter of committing budgets to it. It's a matter of real people taking real forms of action and discovery and coordinating goods and services. When we fail to understand that, we think that just voting in the ballot box is going to change the world, and that's not necessarily how social change takes place.
Dan D'Amico wrapping it up for us. Yeah, we understand. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? Brett Vinnott, you know, like in Vinnott, your slave, okay?
Thank you for having me.
School Sucks Project. Now you go, what is the website? Give it out.
SchoolSucksProject.com.
SchoolSucksProject.com.
Find us on YouTube, username SchoolSucksPodcast.
And you can be one of his big, giant, large number cornucopia of groupies. These guys own groupies. I see him. He's a cute guy. Yeah, they're going to follow him around, man. You can be part of that. You know, here at, it's been great this week being at Porkfest 2012, getting to say, yo, what's up to friends, and just enjoying it.